Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. My name is Mike, and I am your host this week, and I'm also going to be talking to you a little bit. This week, I want to talk to you a little bit about adversity. You know, ultramarathons are full of adversity, and I think that there's a lot to talk about in this subject. And really, what we're talking about is, how do you react to adversity? I believe that adversity is either going to make you or break you. But the biggest thing is, you're the one who gets to choose what's going to happen. You guys all know about my recent Swami's Shuffle 200, where mile 92, I'm laying in the sand, trying to figure out how I'm going to move again for 130 miles when I can't even stand up straight right now. And, you know, that was probably one of the biggest points in 10 years of running ultramarathons, that I just stood there and thought, I have to move on. There is no way that I can stop right here. There's nothing that I gain by stopping. I'm sick. I don't feel well. I don't know how I'm going to keep food down. I don't know how I'm going to keep liquid down. But I knew that if I didn't at least attempt to do that, then something bad would happen in the future. I just knew that this was the point where adversity was either going to make me or it was going to finally break me. And I was going to decide that, okay, we're throwing in the towel with this ultramarathon thing. I'm not the most talented ultramarathoner. I don't finish on the podium. I struggle a lot in these things. It's amazing, but I love running them because I love to challenge myself to see what it is that I can do, to see just how far I can go to be able to finish something and push my body to a limit that I didn't even know. And so as I lay in the sand that night, with the darkness closing in around me and the stars above me, which was brilliant. I don't know if you guys have ever laid in the sand and just looked up at the heavens when there are no streetlights anywhere around. Oh my gosh, it was just so amazing to just see all the lights and everything around. It was just, oh, beautiful. Doesn't even begin to describe it. But, you know, at that point when I was laying there, I also knew that this was decision time. This is the moment of decision time. Do I give in to adversity, call it quit, find a ride back to the start line, or do I clean myself off, pull up my pants, and move forward as best as I can until I find some food to put back in my body? And I chose to move forward, as you guys know, because I sat there, and when I was laying in the sand, I realized there's nothing in my mind's rearview mirror that attracts me to give up and go find comfort. So that's where I say adversity will either make you or break you. And I decided to go for what this adversity could make me. I'm not saying you have to put yourself into potentially dangerous situations to overcome adversity. But what I am saying is that every time adversity jumps up and smacks you in the face, you have the opportunity to decide what you're going to do with it. And to me, this is where training yourself mentally often benefits more than any physical training can ever help. You may wonder, what does that mean, you know, to train mentally? Well, first, let's just kind of look at what does adversity mean? So Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary defines adversity as a state or instance of serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. When you look at synonyms, you find this little nugget. Adversity applies to a state of grave or persistent misfortune. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news for everybody, but you know what? Everybody listening to this right now is going to have serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. We'll all have challenges and setbacks because anything worth doing will be difficult. Today, as I'm recording this, there's 5 people that just finished the Barkley Marathon. And my good friend Jeff has texted me, and because I don't have Twitter anymore, so I can't really see it. But the Ukrainian finished first. John Kelly was second. Damian Hall did not make it all around. Jared Campbell finished third. Greg Hamilton finished fourth. And then for the first time ever, Jasmine Paris, the first female finisher to ever finish a Barkley Marathon finish. When these guys are out there, They have incredible difficulty to undercome. Their adversity, challenges, setbacks are happening to them. And I don't care if you're doing an endurance race like the Barkley Marathon, a 200 miler, a 100 miler, a 50 miler, a 50K, a 26.2 marathon. I don't care what it is. Anytime you set out to do something difficult, there's going to be setbacks. It could be a lifelong committed marriage, a college education, a military career. Perhaps it's some health challenge that continually gives you setbacks. Life is worth living, which means that unless you want to hunker down in your parents' basements your whole life, setbacks are going to give you a swift jab to the face. I have a friend who announces before every ultra marathon, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. I think he's quoting Mike Tyson, but I'm not sure. I prefer saying adversity is my friend because it brings me to the end of what I can do physically on my own, which means I have to trust there's a greater plan for my life. There's something higher and greater in my life, and the moment of discovery draws nigh. I like to look at it as, what am I going to find out this time? The point is that knowing adversity will come means you can be prepared for it and train yourself to react and thus act in the face of it. And this is where mental training comes in. So the best comment I've ever heard about completing ultramarathons, especially anything after 100K, is that to be successful, you have to know how to respond to discomfort or being uncomfortable. You'll find this sensation under comments people make about mental toughness. And the fact is that a DNF did not finish in ultramarathons. More of them are mental, not physical. Great Britain ultra runner, Damien Hall, just in the Barkley Marathon. He has some fantastic tips for developing mental toughness, which he put together on the Innovate website in an article. And he gives these 11 tips to train yourself mentally. And to me, I love the first one. This is largely why I signed up for Run 6 Days in the Dome this June. But every single one of these next 11 tips I'm going to give you is great training to prepare yourself mentally for not just an ultra marathon, but anything in life. So number one is scare yourself. Pick something that's so big that it literally scares you. I know that sounds really weird. But if you're not scared to do something, you're not going to be committed to completing it and doing everything you possibly can to complete it. Number two is prepare mentally. That's what we're talking about, preparing yourself mentally. Number three is to have not so great expectations. I do this every single ultra marathon. I don't go into it with the, whoa, I'm going to podium this one. I think, I'm going to barely finish this one. I'm going to scratch this one out with the, every second that I need. Number four, and this is my big one, know your why. When you dial in your why to do something, you can do anything. When I lay in the sand on the side of North Carolina 12, outside of Salvo, North Carolina, I knew what my why was. My why for running Swami Shuffle 200 had nothing to do with the belt buckle. It had nothing to do with finishing. It had everything to do with persevering in the face of extreme difficulty, because every single one of our veterans who has been in the military in the last 20, 30 years is facing trauma of some kind. And, I went into it the last podcast where I talked, and so I'm not going to dive into it again. But man, I'm telling you what, I run Swami Shuffle for the veterans. I don't run it for any of the bling. I don't run it because it's fun, because it's not really all that much fun. I run it to push myself, to show other people that, you know what, you can push through really, really difficult circumstances. Know your why. Number five, be prepared to suffer. Number six, low mood equals eat food. That one is so true. During Swami, when I finally got the opportunity to eat food in Avon, coming back from the lighthouse, hot food that was made right there. It wasn't some, fast food piece of junk. It was real food, and I put it in my stomach. I'm telling you what, my entire mood changed. Number seven is different. Play the ratios. You know what? If there's a high number of good stuff going on, keep going for it. When I lay in that sand, there were more good stuff going on than there was bad stuff. I knew I was way ahead of any cutoff that I could possibly face. I knew that there were lots of people that I could pass. I knew there were lots of people that were still behind me. I had just kept on saying, there's a lot of good that can happen if I can just keep moving forward. Play the ratios. If there's a higher number of good, keep going. Number eight, think socially. And this was a really interesting tip from Damien Hall. He says that whenever he goes out to do an ultra marathon or anything difficult, he posted on social media and he posts what he'd like to see happen. I kind of like that. I've never done it before, but it's interesting. Number nine, be kind to yourself. You know, when plan A has failed, plan B has failed, plan H has failed, plan L has failed, plan X has failed, and you're on plan Z and you're not even sure if plan Z is going to work. You know what? Be nice to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Give yourself a little gratitude. You know what? When you're out doing difficult stuff, you're doing a lot more than a lot of other people out there who are just sitting at home watching television. Number 10, break it down. And this is a big one to me. Break everything down into bite-sized pieces, and anything is possible. When I was laying in the sand at mile 92, I wasn't thinking about mile 222. I was thinking about mile 94. When I was laying in the sand, I wasn't thinking about getting to the lighthouse. My whole focus was I got like 8 to 10 miles to make it to Avon. That's the next civilization I'm going to see. If I can just make it to Avon, if I can just hold on and move forward to make it to Avon, maybe something will be open. There wasn't a possibility of that, but thank God for Adam Morrell, who drove down with the soup and the crackers, because he helped me break it down. He's an engineer. I love Adam. He's an amazing guy. Anytime you guys get a chance to run with him, you're going to find out he's just got more grit than a lot of people I know. But you know what? Break down. Don't You're not running 100 miles. You're running 2. You're running 5. You're running 10. You're running to the next aid station. You know, I was out helping my good friend Brian, who is one of the best race directors in the world and did an incredible job at Terrapin Mountain. Those of you who ran Shamrock Marathon, you missed the race director debut of the century. I mean, this Brian put on one hell of a race for his first race. I'm so proud of what he did. Amazing, amazing. But, you know, I watched all these runners at this 50K. And I told Brian at the end, my favorite runner was bib number 384, running the half marathon. I don't know how old she was, young lady, struggling like crazy. She's coming down the road. I'm on the road just calling in numbers to the finish line so that they can announce them, you know, as they're coming into the finish line and everything. And this girl, she's coming up the road and she is struggling. She's just got that look, you know, on her face, just really, really probably not happy with herself. I mean, this was towards the end of the race. It was probably, you know, 6, 7 hours into it. So she's been on the course for a long time. And even the half marathon at Terrapin Mountain is not easy. And she got up to me and I fist bumped her and I said, "Man, you're doing awesome. I'm really, really proud of you." She got this big smile on her face. And the next thing I know, I turned around and she's running into the finish line. See, you don't know what you're capable of. And what I love about the ultra running community and what I love about what Brian did at Terrapin Mountain is every single person who crossed that finish line felt like an absolute rock star because he treated them like they were an absolute rock star. And that's what we're all supposed to be doing throughout life, no matter what anybody's going through. One little word of encouragement, one little just treating them like a rock star, and you never know what's going to happen. So Damien's tip number 11 is awesome. Smile, you idiot. You know what? 99.9% of us run ultra marathons because we're out in a tribe of people that we love being around. So you know what? When adversity hits you, smile. Jessica Hardy and Swami Shuffle 200 was the most enthusiastic. Her smile lit up the night sky, and that made everything worth it just to see her smile. There were so many people. I could name every single person. Don Knotts, who had struggled his first day, out there just plugging away, smiling. John Price being John Price and doing his usual awesome stuff. Every single one of these people were amazing. To see Michelle Gray, who was the second place finisher, first woman, at the finish line when I finished, I was so amazed to see one of the top runners out there greeting everybody. You know what? Smile, you idiot. It's fun. So, that's a lot of fun. If you really, really want to get more in depth, there's an article that was written by Sam Heward, who's the Ultra X co-founder. And there were two tips from his article. And I'll post the link to this article on the podcast, but two tips that have made a tremendous difference in how I approach training mentally as well as physically now. And I literally do train mentally. So the first thing, I've already talked a lot about it, is connect to your why. Make sure that you have a very strong why. I also kind of touched on the second one, which is you having a process goal. Make the process your goal, not the ultimate thing. That's where you break it down. I told you about sitting down in the sand and just going, okay, just got to move forward. It all starts with your why, because your why is your anchor when everything else falls apart around you in a race and you want to toss in the towel. If you've got a very firm why of what you're doing stuff, then you're going to be able to let everything else settle in around the why, and that's what's going to keep you moving forward. And that's not just for ultra marathons. That works in life too. This week we had a huge setback in my business. And, I refused to get down. It was a very costly error we made that was going to cost the company a lot of money. And rather than getting down, I just said, okay, why am I doing this business? Is it because I want to be a millionaire? Heavens no. I mean, that's not going to happen. I do this why? Because it puts me in contact with people that I can encourage to be better versions of themselves. I mean, that's my why. That's throughout my life. My why is to be an encourager. My why is to encourage people to be better, do great things. Well, you know what? By the end of the week, the costly loss had turned into a huge positive. We aren't going to lose the money. We're going to be okay. And you know what? It's all centering everything around your why and then breaking down into a process. I wasn't trying to recover the whole loss at one fell swoop with one big contract. I was just talking to a lot of people and just doing little bitty rabbit closes. I closed a lot of little rabbit deals, and all the little rabbit deals, when you added them all up, took care of the big loss. Plus, it puts more profit in our company. So you know what? It's the little things that you do. And so, that's the whole thing about adversity. Move forward, make a decision. Move forward again, make another decision. I know that sounds really simple, but mentally, that is how you get through anything tough. I don't care if you're going through a relationship breakup, a career transition, a death in the family, or moving to a new country. Everything comes down to mentally breaking everything into bite-sized processes and knowing your why. When you take the time to dial in your why and then break things into a process, you're 99% of the way to the finish line. And that is how you face adversity and take your adversity and make it into something positive. And that is the secret of not just running ultra marathons, but that's the secret of life. Really, really appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody who tunes in every week and listens. I am telling you, we have got some fantastic guests coming up. We've got some real surprises that you guys are going to love. Please continue to listen. If you get a chance, give us a rating on whichever podcast thing you're working on. Remember that Google Podcast at the beginning of April 2nd becomes YouTube. So you're not going to be able to find stuff on Google Podcast anymore because they're not going to be there anymore. So listen, if you're a Google Podcast listener, find another platform and let me know, and we'll make sure we're on that one and we'll go from there. Thank you so much for listening. This is Living an Ultra Life.